This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Good morning with Jamie Lent and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. Just a little man helping man this morning. You may find a little frost on the windshield this morning. I think it got down right at freezing level last night. So I had to get my scraper out this morning and scrape a little bit off the old windshield. So
don't you have a garage, Chuck?
I do. I was going to serve that up, that softball, and you hit. There was no need. There was no atmospheric conditions that kept that in the field of play. But I do. And
I hope kill for a garage.
Currently
what'd
unavailable.
You say, Jeff?
I would kill for a garage.
It's currently unavailable.
I wouldn't. Unavailable. You have relatives staying at the house that are parked in the garage?
Yeah, we do.
I wouldn't need a 2-car garage. Right, 1.5 would be fine. Mm-hmm. I would kill.
Yeah.
I would kill many.
Does a lucky
people.
Lady get to park in there?
Currently unavailable to her
currently
as well.
Unavailable to her. Did you scrape her windows for her?
I did.
You are so nice.
I did. I did give it a scrape. I mean, she doesn't have anything going on earlier this morning, so it should be okay by the time that she gets out there.
And what a knight in shining armor. Well done.
I mean, considering how much basketball she was subjected to this weekend, I think she deserves that and a whole lot more.
There you go.
So, I mean, my eyes are kind of bleeding from all the hoops.
Do something else then.
No,
it's making your eyes bleed.
No, I just really enjoy this time of year and just really.
I think that's the wrong term to use then.
I was really glad the weather sucked here this weekend because, I mean, it gave me just absolutely every excuse to stay inside. In fact, you know what we did yesterday, in addition to watching a lot of hoops, is we built a fire.
No, but I bet you're going to tell us.
I am going to tell you. Because I think you'll find this, I don't know if you'll find it fascinating or not.
Definitely not. What you're doing with your Sunday afternoons probably not that fascinating.
We made some s'mores over the weekend, yesterday. She had just enough left over. So we made some s'mores.
That's
so
good.
That was really good.
But you made them not with a graham cracker though. You did low fat wheat thins, right?
We did the graham. Well, I splurged. I splurged. Did the
and
graham
did chocolate
cracker.
And marshmallow
and chocolate and marshmallow too. Yeah,
I didn't know they made low fat wheat thins flavored it like marshmallows.
No, man, I've got to get back on the program because I'm way off the program. Eight Big 12 teams made it to the NCAA tournament on the men's side. Here's something I learned yesterday that I didn't know, okay? And I've been watching the selection show, I don't know, 30, 40 years, you know, as long as it's been going on. I did not know that the number one overall seed got to choose their region before the tournament was set.
Didn't know that either.
And the other thing that I didn't know, because a lot was made yesterday by the commentators across all the platforms about how the East region, that Connecticut's in, they're the number one overall seed, is the, quote, toughest region because of four conference champions, whether it's postseason or not, because you have UAB, Auburn, Illinois, and Iowa State. Iowa State, of course, won the Big 12 postseason tournament. But what they do then is then once you pick that, like Connecticut says, we want to be in the East, and then they fill that bracket, and one of the first criteria when you're looking at that is the teams are then filled in based on the mileage closest to their city.
Okay.
So, like, that's why, you know, you have these – and the regions are staggered, okay? Like, you know, that's why you have Spokane. Now, it doesn't always make the most sense because UAB is going to Spokane and so is Auburn. But for the most part, there's a lot of destinations where, okay, it makes sense that FAU would be going to Brooklyn. I know Florida, but it's Brooklyn. So it's at least on that side of the United States. Northwestern. It's close. You know, it's a close flight. So that's how they do that. So, and then what they do is they take all the seeds. They take the seeding of the tournament, and they all have to be like within five of each other, like 5 points of each other. So like if Connecticut's the number one overall seed and Stetson's the, let's just say, the number 68 seed, they add up all those points with all the different regions. That's at least that was my understanding in listening to that. So Connecticut's the one seed, Houston's the two seed, Purdue's the three seed, and North Carolina's the four seed. A lot was made over the weekend that Iowa State was going to supplant North Carolina. But they said they looked at the non-conference for Iowa State, and then they looked at their entire season, and the committee felt like they were appropriately placed is what the term was.
Okay.
And I didn't have a beef with that. Jay Billis had a bit of a beef of, you know, the emphasis on some of the emphasis on the non-conference schedules, just because of teams now playing, you know, a lot of games inside their own conferences. Some conferences are playing 20. The Big 12 will play on the men's side next year 20 games inside the conference, 20 of their 32. So that'll toughen up their schedules even a little bit more than what it was this year. So that I thought that was kind of interesting. The last four into the tournament, Boise State, Colorado, Virginia, and Colorado State. The last four out, Oklahoma, Seton Hall, Indiana State, and Pittsburgh. Indiana State had the highest net ranking of those that didn't make it at 29. And, you know, of course, there wasn't much cackling about who didn't get in as opposed to who did get in, which is, I'm glad that rhetoric, it seems, has died down with the field getting to 68, because it's like, hey, you still had a big chance.
Sure, I mean, sure.
You know, you had 32 automatic bids that got in, and that's part of the charm of this tournament. But the bid stealers like Oregon, North Carolina State, UAB, Duquesne, which gets into the NCAA tournament for the first time since 1977.
Oh, that's cool for them.
Yeah, it's very cool for them.
That's your party there.
And then New Mexico gets in as well. They won the Mountain West. So those five teams took away spots that could have gone to Oklahoma or Seton Hall. But when you look at Oklahoma down the stretch, man, they didn't play very well down the stretch. They played their way out of it.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. So more on the tournament.
Started off so hot in conference play, came into the Big 12 season, you know, and ranked inside the top 15.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of an epic
fall off.
Yeah, them.
It was. So the big question, I think, for Tech this morning is, all right, Darion Williams, man, get yourself hooked up to a machine and hope your ankle's okay after he rolled it against BYU. Didn't play against Houston. Of course, they got blown out. We got to get to that.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Today is March the 18th, 2024. Here is Jeff McGuire.
Going to start in 1942. Two black players, Jackie Robinson and Nate Moreland, request a tryout with Chicago White Sox.
Mm.
They were allowed to work out. They didn't get the tryout. Mm. 1953, Major League Baseball's National League approves the Boston Braves' move to Milwaukee. It is the first shift since 1903.
Wow. 50 years.
1970, the NFL selects Wilson as the official football and scoreboard as the official time.
Okay.
That's why we all wanted Wilson footballs then.
What year was that?
1970.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward to 19...
Four friends on a deserted island. We wanted them there.
Fast forward to 1991... Philadelphia 76ers, after finally checking off all the things that they needed to do beforehand, finally retire Wilt Chamberlain's number 13 jersey. Yeah, they had a lot of things on that list to take care of. I'm glad that they finally worked their way down to retiring Wilt Chamberlain's jersey in 91.
They seem a little bitter about that.
I'm for retiring jerseys for players that you know you're going to retire them for. before, you know, everyone forgets. That's just me being silly, I guess. 1995, speaking of, you know, retiring, Michael Jordan announces he's retiring from his 17th month retirement from the NBA.
He's going to go play for the Wizards.
Nope. Going to go play for the Bulls.
Oh, he's going to go back and play for the Bulls. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right. Okay, that's
the... He's retiring from retiring.
The first time. I got you.
And in 2004, freshman Jarius Jackson scores 7 points in a 14-0 run as Texas Tech beats Charlotte 76-73 in its NCAA tournament opener. 2014, Phil Jackson signs a 5-year contract to be the president of the New York Knicks. And in 2019, 40-year-old Dallas Maverick forward Dirk Nowitzki overtakes Wilt Chamberlain to go sixth with 31,424 points on the NBA's all-time scoring list. Mavs would suffer a 129-125 overtime loss to the Pelicans, however. It is National Sloppy Joe Day.
Oh, man, I can get behind that. Like a good Sloppy Joe, Jimmy? Pickles on it? No pickles on it. No pickles on it for you. I like pickles on it.
Happy birthday to Adam Levine, 45. Queen Latifah is 54. Vanessa Williams, 61. Andre Rison, 57. And Brian Greasy is 49. And on this day in 1937, the Consolidated Schools of New London, Texas, sat in the middle of a large oil field, oil and natural gas field. This area was dominated by 10,000 oil derricks, 11 of which stood right on school grounds. The school was newly built in the 30s for close to $1 million at the time, and from its inception, bought natural gas from the Union Gas that was in the area. The school's natural gas bill averaged about $300 a month, however. Eventually, officials at Consolidated Schools were persuaded to save money by tapping into wet gas lines operated by the Prairie Oil Company that ran near the school. Wet gas is a type of wet gas that is less stable and more impurities than typical natural gas. At the time, it was not completely uncommon for consumers living near the oil fields to use this type of gas. At 3:05 p.m., a Thursday afternoon, with 694 students and 40 teachers in attendance, they were looking forward to the final bell, which would ring in about 10 minutes. Instead, a huge and powerful explosion, which literally blew off the roof of the building, leveled the school. The blast, which came without warning because natural gas had no smell back then, was felt by people 40 miles away and killed almost 300 victims instantly. And that is this day in sports history.
All right. So thank you, Jeff. This day in sports history, obviously a tragic, tragic day. Speaking of coming up this weekend, it's our 72nd annual regional spelling bee that takes place here in Lubbock, with the winner going on to the national bee in Washington, D.C. That's presented by Double T 97.3 and our friends at Optimum. It'll take place at the YWCA beginning at 10 a.m. You can go and observe and watch. Hopefully we'll have lots of kids there and grandparents and parents and family members who want to see their young darlings spell. And in the spirit of that, we've been spelling some words here. I went 2-3 last week on the morning drive. Missed the word. Did not do a word on Friday. Missed a word on Thursday. Clint gave me the word collywobble.
I thought I gave you that word. No,
you gave me gobbledygook.
Okay. All right.
You gave me gobbledygook. I correctly spelled gibberish.
Yeah, that was
you,
good.
With you last week. All right, so do you have a word for me today? A random word.
I do have a random word for you today. Today's word definition is, this is what you call, what you'd call a small object or gadget if you forgot its real name.
A gizmo.
A doohickey.
A doohickey. A whatchamacallit.
Yeah.
A whatchamacallit. A doohickey. Okay. A doohickey. I'm just going to tell you what I think it is. D-O-O-H-I-C-K-E-Y. Bye-bye.
Well done.
I'm 3-3. How about
very
that?
Very nice.
Yeah.
Doohickey.
Doohickey. Doohickey. All right.
See, I thought he was going to go with thingamajigget.
Thingamajigget. All right. Mm-hmm. So, again, they'll spell much tougher words than that, I'm sure, on Saturday. So that'll be fun. And look forward to...
Tougher than doohickey?
Look forward to seeing what everybody can spell on Saturday over at the YWCA as Double T97.3 and Optimum bring you this so that somebody from our region can go to Washington, D.C. and represent us at the National B. And hopefully have a bit of a run. Wouldn't that be something? Have a bit of a run.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I will have Red Raider Baseball with Tim Tadlock on the air tonight at 6 here on Double T 97.3. He'll talk about the weekend that didn't work out for him and what's ahead for this Red Raider Baseball team. So I guess the question I have for you is, and it's not like this is the first time they've lost 2 of 3 to somebody that Tech did, losing to Baylor after winning on Friday.
I mean, second time in 2 weeks. Yeah. That you've lost 2 to 3.
Yeah, I guess my question is, what's the message to your team? How do you dust yourself off? Those kinds of things. Or is it just, hey, these are the things that we got to work on. These are the fundamentals. These are the things that we need to do as a team at the plate, et cetera, et cetera.
What's the message? Yeah, I guess just keep working. Don't panic. Keep working. You know, we got to get better. We got to be better at the play. We got to be better at the mound. We got to be better defensively. Those kind of things that you talk to your team about. I mean, I don't think it's anything too crazy out there. Just keep working and get better every day, and hopefully things will turn for you. I don't think they're that far off. I just last weekend your offense was there and you didn't pitch it well, and this weekend you pitched it well and your offense wasn't there. So you're just kind of, defense was, okay, and both of them not great in either one, to be honest with you. So, but you were pretty good defensively this weekend. So a couple hiccups on Friday, but Saturday and Sunday it was solid. So, yeah, just keep working.
Did you see a turning point or a trend at all, like on Saturday when they're like, maybe too anxious at the plate or not being patient enough, or was it just kind of one of those weekends?
Yeah, their pitching was better than your hitting. Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of that simple. Your guys didn't get a lot of hits, and their pitchers deserve credit for it, and I don't blame that on anybody, but the guys at the plate, and give credit to the guys on the mound. They were better than you. Is Baylor a better team than the Red Raiders? I don't think so. We'll have to wait and see. But you look at the teams that were predicted to be at the top of this conference, and Texas and Texas Tech and Oklahoma State and TCU, and they're all having their fair share of struggles.
Yeah.
So right now it looks like everybody's trying to figure some things out. OU's off to a terrific start for them. They're 6-0 in Big 12 play, and they get a huge sweep of TCU on the road. And TCU was the, a top 10 team in every poll, to start the season. So they're really scuffling. Oklahoma State just gets punished in the first couple of games in Orlando against a team in UCF that we didn't think was going to be that good. And UCF had just gotten swept by Oklahoma the weekend before. So it just, there's a lot of teams trying to figure things out right now in this conference, and the Red Raiders are in that group.
It's another case of no matter the sport, the conference is really good, top to bottom.
No, I wouldn't say that.
You wouldn't?
I really wouldn't.
Okay.
Yeah. It kind of looks like the conference maybe is not as good as we thought it was going to be this year. Yeah, I mean, with those teams that you feel like had the potential to be really good, not being as good. Maybe Oklahoma is better than we thought they were going to be, but again, you've played for most of these teams 6 out of 30 games, so there's a ton of Big 12 baseball to be played.
Are you surprised to be at this spot right now?
At 2-4?
Yeah.
I didn't expect you to lose this weekend. It didn't shock me at all to see you lose 2 of 3 to Texas.
Yeah.
Because that's a really talented offense. But, yeah, I mean, I didn't think you were going to lose 2 of 3 in Waco.
Yeah. 7:19 this morning here.
Do you think anybody thought that?
No, I don't. I don't.
Yeah,
that's
pretty much a gimme.
I'm just, trying to pick it apart a little bit. I mean, just trying to.
I mean, it's baseball. Teams struggle, and then they get it figured out, and they go on a run, and that's what you're hoping this team can do. And there's also times where teams struggle that you thought were going to be good, and they don't go on a run. Mm-hmm. So we just have to sit back and wait to see what happens. But there's just been some inconsistencies so far this year. We've seen some good stuff and some bad stuff. And, you hope you get it turned around quickly, mm-hmm. That it doesn't take forever. But, I was encouraged by certain things we saw this weekend, including the pitching. Kyle Robinson, after having a really tough start against Texas, I mean, couldn't have bounced back any better, so that was great to see. Josh Sanders was solid. I mean, your bullpen went 5-6 innings on game two, whatever you want to call it, didn't give up a run. Okay, so that was great to see. Again, you didn't make a single error the last 2 days. That was great to see. Offense just didn't hit. And again, Baylor deserves credit for that. I don't want to act like, well, we didn't show up. No, they were better than you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's good to know. Good to hear that you saw that not everything was negative. I mean, I realize mm-hmm. that
But you got to score runs. And
the outcome was negative, obviously.
It's like us Red Raider football fans. It's hard to take when we see our offense losing – or team losing games because our offense stinks. Because we've been so used to great offensive football teams mm-hmm. here, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've become spoiled in that regard. And so when we lose a game to West Virginia 20-13, you're like, this is horrible football. Because we're used to scoring 30s and 40s and whatever, okay? Well, it's the same thing in baseball. We've been used to seeing your offense do great things. And when they get 16 hits and only 5 runs in a weekend, it's a bit shocking.
It is a bit shocking, yes.
At the same time, we have felt better if we went down to Waco and scored 11 runs a game and lost 2 out of 3? I wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have felt better. Okay, because your pitching's terrible. I don't think your offense is terrible. I think they had a really bad weekend, and I think Baylor deserves some credit for that.
Yeah, yeah. 7:22 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Take a look at this from the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Let's see. I was criticized last year when we said it was a red flag that our best pitcher left, and Tadlock seemed surprised. hope isn't a strategy.
Okay, so if you, do you want to get into why your best pitcher left?
It was money.
I mean,
it's money. It's bottom line. It's money.
Yeah, and if you, I'm not trying to make excuses. I mean, there's been some bad luck with injuries, just like you've had in other programs too. But you've had some of that. But again, you put together $12 million to upgrade your facility, right? Your clubhouse and locker room and all that. And that's not paying off yet. Okay. That'll help.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But if you're comparing what Texas Tech has baseball wise to what Oklahoma State has when they put about $50 million into their new stadium and what TCU has, A&M announced they're doing $80 million worth of renovations
to their stadium.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. It's you're just not recruiting to the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You're just not.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not trying to make excuses. I mean, Coach Tadlock and the staff have done more with less for years. Okay. it wasn't any different before, okay? But, I mean, when you know, when Arkansas calls your guy and says, hey, we'll pay you all this money, and Texas Tech doesn't have the money to match, that was your best pitcher? What do you do? I mean, is that the head coach's fault that he doesn't have the money to match it?
It's not. It's not, unfortunately. That's where we are today. And, you know, until you get some kind of tampering clause put in there, you're going to, this is going to continue. And it's going to continue that people are going to go where the money is. And that's unfortunate. But that's unfortunately where we are with college athletics right now. 7:24 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Jamie's question of the day is next.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
All right, gentlemen. I hope I didn't need to give you guys a heads up on this and you've taken a peek already.
No.
I'm sure Chuck has, but I'm hoping Jeff has as well. I want you to tell me.
Yeah, I'm playing solitaire. You're fine. Go ahead.
Okay, which Big 12 team has the best chance to make a deep run? Mm-hmm. Who's going to make the deepest run? Mm-hmm. And obviously you've got Houston sitting out there as a number one seed, so maybe this is an easy answer.
Well, I think I'd take Houston out of the mix, so to speak, because although, I mean, their path to the Sweet 16 is, I think, pretty easy. Their path to a Final Four may be met with Marquette or potentially Kentucky. I don't think Florida. I think of the bottom half of the bracket for them. The three teams that stand out to me are Marquette, Kentucky, and Texas Tech.
I was going to say, you don't have us taking them down?
No, I think...
I mean, the first two games against them have gone so well.
Yeah. The better question might be, who's the first one out, you know, of the Big 12? Because there's eight teams in. And Baylor's got a good shot. I mean, they're in the West, where North Carolina's a shaky number one. Arizona looks to be really, really good. Baylor's a three seed. I hate saying Baylor.
So let me change the question a little bit. Okay. What if I said, which Big 12 team do you think will go farther than most expect them to?
They can go farther than most expect them to.
And that may be... I mean, for a certain team, maybe just one win. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I look at Houston and I feel like veteran guards and the defense that they play, that looks like a Final Four team. I mean, you don't even have to tell me who they're playing.
Yeah.
That looks like a Final Four team to me. I look at their side of the bracket and I feel like, yeah, they've got a really good shot.
They do.
I also like Iowa State's. Side of things, and I think they can beat UConn. Okay. Mm-hmm. So to me, I think my answer would be Iowa State, because I don't think people think Iowa State is going to be in the Final Four, but I absolutely think they could get there.
Okay.
That team has all the right pieces as well. Good guard play.
Mm-hmm. I mean, tough team.
Good, solid interior players, great outside shooting. I mean, they got a lot of good guards. I mean, all the above.
I'm going to say Baylor.
Baylor?
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to say Baylor because I think, you know, they got Colgate and then they've got winner of Clemson, New Mexico. And I don't necessarily, the team that would scare me the most if I'm them is Arizona. I know North Carolina is the number one team, but they were shaky down the stretch.
Yeah, I think that's a good answer, Chuck. I think you could see Baylor, I mean, going Elite Eight at least.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and maybe because I don't think North Carolina is that great.
I mean, they were a team that didn't make the tournament a year ago, so give them credit for making it back and then being a one seed. Jeff?
Yeah, I think Baylor's the right answer here. The thing that makes this question hard is, as I'm sitting looking at these Big 12 seedings, I don't really feel like anybody's like drastically underseeded. Like there's no insults for the Big 12 this year. Mm-hmm. There's not like Tech at 11 or something that you go, how is Tech an 11? How did that happen? No, like we're upset that we're not a 5, but the difference between a 5 and a 6 isn't that great in comparison for like being drastically underseeded like we've seen at times with the Big 12. I wouldn't be shocked. I mean, obviously, Houston being a 1 seed, you expect them to be a Final Four. Iowa State being a 2 seed wouldn't shock anybody to be in the Final Four. So all of those things just kind of fit. Baylor being able to take down a number 1 and a number 2 would be the big, I guess, jump out if mm-hmm. that happened. But they've been a top 10 team at times this year, and we all said all season long how talented they were. They just hit that stretch in the middle of the season that they couldn't make up for it.
Yeah, so, one of those teams that you feel like is playing some of their best basketball right now.
Yeah. I think Baylor's the right answer.
Okay. Who would shock you if they made it to the Sweet 16? I guess, I mean, the low-hanging fruit on that might be TCU, but, I mean, Purdue.
Because they'd have to go through Purdue.
But Purdue has been, I mean, they've carried baggage the last 2 or 3 years of not being able to advance like people thought that they would.
I'll do you one better. I'll add Kansas to that list.
Well, that's kind of really where I was going.
And you get the winner of TCU and Purdue to make the Sweet 16 at that point, if Kansas moves on.
But to get to the Sweet 16, they'd probably likely only have to beat Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But some would say that there's a challenge for them with Samford. I mean, they're a team that's...
I wouldn't.
Well, they're a team that's injured. They're a team that's not very deep. They don't shoot the three ball. I thought
front of their jersey still says Kansas.
Absolutely. And I think that that's what helped them get their 4 seed. I think they were seeded too high.
I think their non-conference schedule got them their 4 seed.
Yeah, you're probably right. Texas, there's a potential Jamie... Delicious matchup in the Sweet 16 with...
I knew you would be excited about that.
Texas and Tennessee playing. I mean, I think that would be just outstanding for Rick Barnes to go up against his former team. That,
they've played, only if they haven't put they played it on. Like twice already, though?
They've played before, yeah. Yeah, it's so it wouldn't
not,
be the first...
12 SEC challenge.
It wouldn't be the first time. It wouldn't be the first time. How about Duke as a 4 seed? I mean, they'll... potentially have to go through Wisconsin. And Wisconsin, man, they were really good in the Big Ten. I'll tell you a team in the East that could come out, if they play like they did in the Big Ten tournament, is Illinois. And, man, Terrence Shannon Jr., he looked awesome on Saturday and Sunday. I watched quite a bit of those two games that they played. He had 40 on Saturday. And then he just took it to the hole yesterday time and time and time again. And his three-point shooting, man, you look at him and you go, man, if you'd have had him.
Whew. I can't believe he's still in college. Feels like forever since he's played for us.
I know.
Forever ago.
I know. It's only been a couple of years. He's been there 2 years, but it does seem like a long two.
Well, he's got fresh legs. He was suspended for like a month.
Yeah,
so.
Right. He had some time off, right?
The Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Great to have you with us today. It is Monday. It's the first Monday after spring break. So if you've been spring breaking and now you're trying to get back into the swing of things, good luck to you. If you've got kids in school that you've had at home all week, you're probably going, yippee, hip hip hooray, they're back with the teachers. Right?
I don't know.
Could be a little bit of that.
I don't know. I'd like to think that parents enjoy the time with their kids during spring break.
I thought they were just excited that they got to listen to us again instead of having to listen to kids' music in the car.
With Jamie Lint and Jeff McGuire, I'm Chuck Hines. We come to you from the First United Bank studio. I took the Phenoms to the model trains on Saturday.
Oh, fun.
At the Windmill Center. I asked their mother, I said, what time do I need to have them back? And she said, they go to bed at 8. This was at 10 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
They were back for lunch. They were back for lunch. So
see how you are. She says keep them until 8 and you bring her back at noon.
Well, that's not, she was being funny. Ha ha, funny ha ha.
I don't know that she was being funny.
I also took him over to Also took them over to the football stadium. We did a little construction inspection. And, man, that thing is it's just massive. It's just, I mean, when you kind of look up, we went over on the west side and went as far as we could towards the new Double T scoreboard. And you just kind of look at the whole project there. It's just absolutely massive. So hopefully they'll be done in time for that night kickoff on August the 31st.
They're going to be done.
Okay, I know.
It's
going to
be done with like 2 weeks to spare.
Yeah, I know they're going to be done.
Stop it.
Speaking of football, it starts tomorrow, Jamie, for the spring for Coach Joey McGuire and his troops. Coach McGuire will be available to the media tomorrow after practice. And so it'll be interesting to kind of get his tail of the tape in terms of how his team has progressed since the bowl game and, you know, what they've been working on over the winter and kind of what they want to accomplish in camp. You got your quarterback. You got your running back. Maybe you want to hear about the offensive line. That's not quite as sexy. And maybe who's going to replace some of your big studs along the defensive line, and how does your depth look and things along those lines, and then maybe secondary. But receiving group, I think, is going to be probably a lot of opportunities for guys this spring, I would think.
Sure, especially with Micah Hudson not being able to play.
Yeah. He'll get the same question that Grant McCaslin's been getting about Warren Washington. He's when he's able to practice full tilt, we'll put him out there. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
So, is there any big question that you have for spring for this football team?
I do not.
Okay.
I do not.
Are they going to run the table in the fall? That's the question I have in the spring.
Run the table. Go 12-0?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but he has an answer, but you have no idea if it's true or not.
Sure. But that's how we're going to be with every answer we have right now. We're not going to know anything this spring. All of our questions for the spring have already been answered. And that is, we have our quarterback. We know who our wide receiver is. We know who the running back is. We know what the offense is going to look like. We know what the defense is going to look like. It's going to be nice to see it all again. Mm-hmm.
What questions do you have?
I'm curious what the offensive line is going to look like and what his expectations are from it, or how does it change with a new coach, or does it change? I imagine
at the top of that answer will be block better. The expectation is for them to block better.
Yeah. Do you have an extra dose of sarcasm for
No, it's spring football, man. Like,
no matter what he says, we just have to wait and watch to see if it works, right?
No, yeah.
I mean, because, you know, he was positive about him last year, and it was...
Who knows?
It was okay. I don't think the offensive line was horrible last year, but it wasn't like a strong suit or anything like that, but... I mean, that's just one of those deals, offensive line, where
maybe
you're probably just going to say, yeah, until we see them playing against Big 12 foes, we're not going to really know who they are.
Maybe I'll ask him what color chairs he's going to put in his new office, Jeff.
And that's the breaking news we're looking for.
I mean, I'll ask him, hey, are you going to put a recliner in there so that you can take a nap and, you know, when you're working in the middle of the night? Or how big's the TV going to be there? I don't know.
I mean, I hope he doesn't have a recliner in there.
I hope he does, so that Chuck can sit and take a nap during practice.
Probably will not. But anyway, spring practice will begin tomorrow, and the spring game for Texas Tech will be April the 20th, and that will be down in Midland. So there have been times where coaches have been, you know, they've kind of spread this out, but Tech will work this week on Tuesday, and then they'll work on Thursday, and they'll work on Friday, and they'll work on Saturday as well. So they have a number of opportunities this week to get things underway. They'll have, what, total of 15 practices. So we'll see. Let's see here.
Maybe you could ask him, what is the one thing, or what are some things that you feel like you really want to get figured out in the spring?
That's a good question.
Like, is there a focus? Like, we got to know who's going to be our left tackle. Mm-hmm. We got to know, can this guy do this? Mm-hmm. Can our outside linebacker handle that position, or do we need to move him to the inside? I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
Just random things like that.
Who replaces Dadrian Taylor-Demerson?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, things like that. That'd be really kind of smart kind of questions to ask.
Well, ask them.
Okay, I'll try to get to that.
I know you will.
The key word there was try to get to that.
Try to get to that. 8:08 this morning here on the Morning Drive. Red Raider Charlie says, people noticed Warren Washington was not wearing the boot yesterday. Okay, I did not go to the selection show pep rally. So will he be available Thursday versus North Carolina State? I don't know. Coach McCaslin said yesterday that until he's in, you know, going through practice and if he feels good about things, then that's when he'll play in a game. And then he asks about Darion Williams. He'll play, right? I think so. But, man, what do you know about an ankle? I mean, it just sometimes it takes a little bit to respond. I mean, as much as he cuts on it, he just wasn't able to go on Friday night. As hard as they were to help him get ready and as hard as he prepared to try to get ready, I heard Jeff Haxton talking about on the pregame show on Friday night just how much time that Darion Williams spent in the ballroom that he was in on Friday night trying to get ready for it. And I think they all expected him to be able to play.
What was Hax doing spending all that time in the ballroom?
He was getting interviews and talking to people, and then he was going down and getting himself a cookie, I think, too.
I think he wasn't injured. He was definitely working on his waltz.
Yeah. Waltz, okay.
Anyway,
I don't think he can jitterbug, so we'll go with Walt.
He was
ooh,
in
cha-cha
and around.
Could be good.
He was in and around.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at doublet973.com.